I have been in many life-threatening situations as a spiritual warrior. People trying to shoot me, stab me, slash me, physical engagement, spitting on me, trying to bite me. You just wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And through all of it, I have had to maintain control of the situation. So that's easier said than done. But you have to have a level of faith in a situation like that to know that if God's with me and for me, then nothing's going to stand against me.
All I could see was this light coming in.
The Holy Spirit went.
It blew into me.
I have never been the same since then.
That was it. I'm done.
I was born again.
Welcome to the Weird Christian Podcast. I am your host, Samuel Delgado, and this is episode 76. I interview Reverend Bill Bean, a spiritual warrior, exorcist, and deliverance minister. We talk about his book, Tales of an Exorcist, and get into ghosts, demons, and aliens. I'll go ahead and tell you right now, if you're watching the video, it's pretty much just going to be me. We had some technical difficulties getting on Zoom. Bill was convinced that there was a spiritual element to that. All I can say is I've never had this issue before on my end. He's never had it before on his end. But for whatever reason, we could not get connected on Zoom. So as you'll see in the video, I'll be recording our telephone conversation. So I'm just holding up my phone to the microphone, and that's how the audio is getting picked up. So if the audio sounds a bit different, that's the reason why, and you'll hear me reference that throughout the interview. But with no further ado, let's get weird. Let's do it. All right. Well, welcome to the show, man. Let me see. I've got a ton of questions for you. Thank you for sending the book. It was awesome. I wouldn't have had an exorcist on for a while, and I'll just jump in. One of the first things I noticed in the book is you list what a demon is, and you had a few different things for that. But one of them was I think what probably most people would just kind of call it ghost. You listed it as souls of the wicked deceased, and they roam the earth to torment the living. So I had some questions on that, specifically about ghosts. So, I've talked to a lot of people about this, and the general response is that these ghosts are demons. In other words, they're not actual people that are roaming the earth. They're familiar spirits. So they're pretending like they're your grandpa or someone that you know, but they're not really that person, which sounds like you're saying something different, which is kind of refreshing to me because I've heard so many ghost stories that that don't sound like your typical demon tormenting kind of thing. So my question for you is about, is there such thing as, I'll give an example. So sometimes you hear of the ghost, the woman's just sitting in her favorite rocking chair. She's not bothering anybody. She's just there. Is there such thing as like a friendly ghost? In other words, one that's just not there to bother anybody, one that's just there.
Yeah, and that's a great question, Samuel. And my answer to that is a very complicated answer. First of all, yes, I would agree with people that think that most of the ghostly phenomena is familiar spirits. It certainly can be. When there is negative intent and sinister implications and events that are adjacent and attached with something like that, well then of course you're gonna come to the realization that it is demonic in nature, and it is a familiar spirit impersonating the long lost loved one or whatever it may be, little boy, little girl. But in some instances, and I don't pretend to know all the answers, but my best, I guess, guesstimation on it would be that, now biblically, Jesus told Peter, don't be afraid. It's me. It's not a ghost. I'm not a ghost. It's me.
Yeah.
So right there would give you pause and say, okay, well, Jesus is saying he's not a ghost. He didn't say anything about a demon. He said, it's me. I'm not a ghost. So perhaps, and this is my best guess on this, we have a soul. When the body passes, you know, when it stops working, well, then the soul departs. The body becomes 21 grams lighter. But I've thought about this and I thought, okay, yes, I absolutely believe we have a soul. I do believe that the soul departs the body after death. But what if there's a little something else, and I would call it a life essence, that I wouldn't necessarily call it a second soul, but I would call it something, you know, along those lines, that this life essence comes out of the body as well, and perhaps it can manifest in ways like you were saying, like you'd see an old lady in a rocking chair or whatever, or, something that is not in the order of any type of sinister, demonic type of stuff going on. So that's where I arrive at. That, you know, there has to be something else that sort of can remain on the earth in this form of life essence or whatever you want to call it, that maybe at times can manifest and loop over, almost like a DVD player that would be on loop and just going over and over and over. It would have these residual overlapping effects due to something in time that sort of got stamped or something, you know, to where it just manifest with no wicked intent, but manifest just the same. And it just happens over and over and over again. So that is really my best guess, you know, on the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's refreshing to hear. Yeah, go ahead.
We can feel when something is divine. We can feel the love and the protection, just the goodness and uplifting. And biblically, now I've had many experiences with angels as well, and of course, you know, many with demons. But the divine angelic experiences were fantastic, wonderful, you know, just a blessing. But the flip side is, you know, when a person is having a demonic experience, the fear comes in, the atmospheric change sometimes are accompanied by, you know, terrible odors. And just the feeling of dread or fear or whatever it may be is just the polar opposite, you know, of something blessed and divine.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll follow up with a couple of questions, and that kind of explains like the phenomenon with ghost ships, and I've heard of ghost trains. Sometimes buildings will pop up and that sort of thing. So that kind of explains that. Maybe I have like a two-part question, because you mentioned life essence. Have you heard of the phenomena of like organ donors taking on like personality traits of their donors?
I have. And again, that takes us right back to what I'm saying. It is possible that, you know, through this life essence that, you know, even though something like that is going into another person, it still has the life essence of the, you know, original person with that, and then goes into the, you know, new person. And so those things could carry over and bleed into the personality or behavior of the person that, you know, received.
Yeah. So cool. I'll ask one more question too. And, you know, biblically we know that Paul says, you know, to when you die, you're with the Lord. And so, you know, I've always heard that, okay, therefore, you know, you can never see a loved one. And we see Saul call Samuel through a medium up from, you know, the netherworld. You know, and it doesn't say that to be with the Lord is to be like stuck with the Lord. Is it possible that God would allow a loved one to come down and communicate with someone here on earth?
I would have to say yes, Samuel, and I'll tell you why. Much of my family is gone. Neither of my parents lived to see the age of 50. My mother died at age 44 from a cerebral hemorrhage, and my father was shot to death at age 48. And most of my family died under bizarre, mysterious, and horrific circumstances. But I have never in my life had any loved one manifest themselves before me while conscious. Mm. However, I've had many dreams, and even recent dreams, of loved ones, my parents and other dearly departed loved ones, coming to me in dreams. And they were very good dreams. They were loving. So I do believe, and I don't pretend to understand it, but I do believe that God does allow our loved ones to sort of check in or somehow make contact with us from time to time. However, there's a flip side to that too. Mm-hmm. Familiar spirits can come in and impersonate, you know, loved ones, and they could take the form and shape of anyone or anything.
Yeah.
Because they're master mimics, mm-hmm. you know, like the devil. So this is where spiritual discernment comes in.
Mm.
Now, even though these familiar spirits are master mimics, they're not 100% accurate
right.
in their depiction and impersonation,
yeah.
you know, of a loved one or whatever they're taking the shape and the form of. So this is why it's so important for us to really be making God first. And if we are, he'll give us holy discernment to know what is real, what is not, what is true, what is not, who is true, who is not. And he will guide us in that. So it's absolutely essential for us to have that real and authentic relationship with God in order to have that level of discernment.
Hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Well, that is refreshing. And you know, immediately when I saw that in the book, I thought, oh wow, finally, because you know, everyone probably knows at least someone or has had experience with the ghost story of their own. And, you know, I'm just not super comfortable with the dismissive explanation that, well, it's all this and therefore it can't be what you think it is. But you know, I thank you for saying what you said about discernment, because it's a slippery slope. We know we're not supposed to go out and seek that contact.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me ask you about physical manifestations. You have some pictures in your book, and you can actually see ghosts and these demons. So are those there and just whoever took the picture did not notice it when they took it? Or is it that somehow they only show up in the photograph?
Well, most of those photos in the book were taken of me or by me. And so in some instances, I would see something or sense something. So part of my holy discernment is that I could sense the presence of the unseen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've taken many photos like that to where you couldn't see it in real time.
Mm-hmm.
When you take the photograph, there is something there. So that is part of holy discernment.
Mm-hmm.
I've been written about in other books that where I had others with me, and I said, there is something there. And they said, you're crazy. There's nothing there. I said, well, do me a favor. Just take your camera there. I'll take mine, and we'll take a picture of that area where I say something's there.
Hmm.
And sure enough, when the picture's taken, it revealed something was there. And so all I could say about it is it's a gift from God. It is part of holy discernment. I thank him and praise him for it. I don't seek these things. Absolutely not. You know, this all started in my childhood. There are photos that go back to 1968 when I was 2 years old. In the photograph, it's in the book, Christmas time, 1968, my sister's to my left and to her far left is this very tall, black hooded figure. So that's 1968. Then the next year in 1969, at age three, I guess it was my dad who took the photo of me, Polaroid photo, and it shows all these other humanoid figures and other types of figures in there all around me. It was as if a dimensional doorway was open and all these different types of entities came in. So that was, you know, right from the beginning of childhood. And furthermore, I believe that God really had this plan for my life before I came into the world. And I certainly didn't know it, but he had, I guess, designated me to be a spiritual warrior for him. And the devil knew this. And I think the devil was trying to kill me before I could even get started. I've been in so many life-threatening situations throughout my life, starting in childhood. So I think the devil was trying to stop me before I got to where I'm at now and how God works for me to help people. So it's just been an amazing journey, Samuel, and I've experienced just about every type of phenomena that you can think of and imagine. I have seen it, I have experienced it, and it is all for a reason. And the reason is that God chooses us to do certain things. And it was the greatest thing for me in my life once I realized that God was really calling me into service as a spiritual warrior that would go around and free these people from evil. And it's not me. I'm nothing special. It's just the power of God working through me to help these people. But it's the greatest feeling in the world to know that God actually worked through me to free someone from evil and to help them to move forward and have a quality of life.
Yeah, I mean, and now I'll put a link to your book in the actually, I didn't realize you went up. You had heard me. I'll put a link to your book in the show notes for anyone that's interested. You have an incredible story, and so you know, I figured for this interview, just for the time constraints, we'll jump in and get to kind of the meat and potatoes of it. But you know, I know I've come a long way in I guess my upbringing of kind of seeing as demons as something that's completely, I don't know. You know, people can explain. It's weird to think that people just don't even believe in them. But anyway, I encourage anyone that's kind of at that place to pick up your book and check it out. But I want to ask about like physical interactions, because that was one thing that even learning about demons, it was completely bizarre to me. You know, we sort of think of demons as ghost spirits that are just kind of like these see-through things that they cannot interact with our world. But you have so many stories of physical manifestations. How does that work that they're able to take that physicality on?
I've had many of those types of experiences, and I don't know exactly how they are able to step into our realm in a physical form, except to say that they have to be gathering energy from somewhere in order to manifest in a solid body form. But I've seen it, and I've been face to face with, as a matter of fact, you know, starting in childhood, being physically attacked by demons from age 5, probably to age 12. I suffered greatly as a child, great trauma. And so from that early age, and then the first time that I engaged in spiritual warfare against demonic forces was in 1979 at age 13, and they physically manifested again on that occasion, and then they just dissipated. So after, you know, they manifested for several seconds, and they certainly looked like they were in solid body form, then they just dissipated. It was amazing how they didn't just suddenly vanish. They just dissipated and faded out. But then I've had many other experiences, you know, as I progressed into adulthood and even before I became the spiritual warrior. And I write about that in the book as well in chapter 2, how this black form, you know, manifested and a demonic possession took place for 22 days. The entity spoke to me, mocked my lack of knowledge, because at that time I was a spinning top. You know, I was starting to seek God, but I wasn't there yet. It was two steps forward, three steps backward. And I hadn't really read the Bible. I skimmed over it, you know, didn't really know. My parents believed in God, but we didn't have any faith-based upbringing. You know, we never went to church, never baptized, nothing like that. So at that point in time, I didn't know the scriptures, and demon was said to me, for a man with such faith in your God, you surely don't know the Bible. And it started to mock me, my lack of knowledge of the scriptures, by quoting scripture after scripture after scripture. Dang. And so that was in a solid body form, a black form, again, like a black hooded figure. Another instance took place in 2014. I just performed an exorcism over a lady, and I didn't disclose her name. You know, in the book, I try to protect her identity and location and all that. But took place in 2014, very large house, finished the exorcism. And this is what people don't understand. I don't just walk in and God works through me and I, you know, perform the deliverance and all of a sudden they're delivered and then I just walk back out. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Yes, God does work through me to deliver people, but then I have to go through the entire home and make sure that there are no demons hiding or lurking in there. Mm-hmm. And that's a process. And so it was during one of these occasions that I encountered what I encountered. And so I'd gone through the entire house, making sure that everything was blessed, sealed, sanctified, purified, cleansed, and made holy before God. I get to a wide set of steps that goes up into an attic area. And they were converting that into a master bedroom. So it was a large space. I go up the steps, and on my right, there was a lamp over there, so it was pretty well lit. I go over and make sure everything's blessed and cleansed and cleared. Then the other side was dark, and I start to head over to the other side, and I cross over, and it's completely dark over there. Mm-hmm. There was a window, I think it was like a double window, no curtains or drapes or anything like that. The moonlight was coming through that window, and I'd say probably about 6 feet across from that window was a ventilation shaft. And so I get over there, and in between the window and the ventilation shaft stood this entity that was at least 7 feet tall.
Oh, wow.
Black little figure, glowing red eyes. It even had, looked like it had folded in wings that came up to points past the shoulders. And now think about this, Samuel. This is really happening, and I'm within 10 feet of this entity. Now, in a situation like that, a lot of people would just faint. They'd pass right out, or they'd turn and run. They'd soil themselves.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
It was only by the power of God that I could stand there and withstand that entity. And I had a Bible in my left hand, and I use a mixture of holy oil, holy water, and holy salt. I had that in a shaker in my right hand. And I stood there, and I said, by the mighty power of Yahweh and his mighty and holy name, in Yahshua Jesus the Christ's name, I bind and rebuke you, cast you out, and command you to depart. I was very authoritative. And I took the mixture, the shaker, and I threw it three times at the entity. And that thing let out a screech like I've never heard before or since. It was so loud it rattled the windows, and then it departed. I will never, ever forget that as long as I live.
Sure.
And I've had many experiences like that and with different types of entities as well. But the most important thing for me, as an agent for God, as a spiritual warrior for God, I have to remain in control of the situation no matter what. I have been in many life-threatening situations as a spiritual warrior, people trying to shoot me, stab me, slash me, physical engagement, spitting on me, trying to bite me. You just wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And through all of it, I have had to maintain control of the situation. So that's easier said than done, but you have to have a level of faith in a situation like that to know that if God's with me and for me, then nothing's going to stand against me. Literally, it's almost like a David and Goliath type of situation.
Yeah.
To where you have to have that level of faith to be able to withstand something like that.
Wow. Yeah. That's incredible. It almost seems like there's like they're having to sustain that physicality through some sort of, they're pulling energy in somehow, and it's not a permanent situation, so it makes sense for them to want to inhabit a body. Let me ask, do demons know the future? Did you hear me, Bill?
No, you faded out on me. I didn't hear you.
Okay, no, I'm sorry. I think I'm holding the phone further away so I can... it's not picking up feedback on the mic, but I asked, do demons know the future?
I think so. And, you know, and again, that sort of conflicts with scripture, but I think so. And I'll tell you why, because I've had, you know, these entities, and I'll say this, never have dialogue with a demon. The only dialogue that I have with a demon or demons is taking power and authority over them, commanding them to be silent, binding and rebuking and casting them out. That is it. Because otherwise, you are opening yourself up to disaster. And I've heard some of these entities, have said future things they have, but they're liars. I mean, they're liars like their father, the devil. They sprinkle a little bit of truth in, just enough to hook people in, but their substance is lies. So they are, their whole deal is sand. They're not built on a rock. They're built on sand, and they wash away, and they just tell lie after lie after lie. However, there are little sprinkles of truth in some of those lies. And I do believe that they have the ability and capabilities to either predict future events or somehow read minds in that way. So, yes, I do believe that is possible because I have seen it. And again, my best advice to anybody, if you're going to engage in spiritual warfare, do not have any dialogue with demons. I've seen these videos of certain people that they sit there with supposed possessed individuals, and they're sitting there having a conversation with the demon and tell me this and tell me that, just like you and I are talking right now. And I'm thinking, this is so phony. This, you would not, there's no way you would sit there and do that. And anybody that has any holy discernment, you would never, ever sit and engage in such a thing. That becomes a clown show. Mm-hmm. And it's so ridiculous. I just shake my head, you know, when I see something like that. But that is not reality. Reality is that when you're in a situation where a person is demonically possessed, that is a high pressure, high stress situation, to say the least. And it takes every bit of faith to be able to maintain and control that situation.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting. Okay. I know one thing that it kind of reminds me of 2 Kings, where God's trying to, he's talking to the divine council about how to convince a king to go into battle, and someone steps forward and says, "I'll tell all the prophets to tell him that, you know, he's going to get victory or something like that." So you even see where God sends like a lying spirit to bring about his purposes.
It's bizarre. Yeah, all through the Old Testament, yes. Yes, that's true. And so people do, if God's calling us, and I would never, and I say this all the time, Samuel, I would never claim to be a prophet. Mm-hmm. I never give dates on, you know, this or that. And I tell people all the time, I believe we are in the last days. When is that day coming? I don't know. And unless God himself tells me or sends an angel to tell me, I don't know and would never claim to know that. But, there are people out there that make these false prophecies and, oh, on this date, it's going to happen, and this date, and that. And then when that date passes, they say, oh, well, God gave a reprieve, or he's changed his mind, it's going to be on this date. And it just boggles my mind that there are people who follow along with people like that. They just change it as they go, and they still have an audience that follows them. Yeah. You know, well, we know that if a prophet in the Old Testament gave a prophecy that did not come true, they were finished and oftentimes put to death.
Yeah.
Never, if they weren't, they were never trusted again, and it was the end for them.
Yeah. All right, Bill, I got one more question. Hopefully you can somewhat answer this one. I think you mentioned it briefly in your book. I want to ask about the alien abduction phenomena. Is that a separate, you know, I know you have a kind of a large, broad definition of what a demon is, so I think you would probably place that in that, but, you know, how do we distinguish what's going on with that phenomena and, you know, what we would typically think of as like demonic possession?
Yeah, well, it is linked. And this might not be what I'm about to say. It might not be popular with some Christians, but I'm speaking truth and I'm speaking from the Bible. Psalm 68:17 says the chariots of God are 20,000. So I do believe, for whatever reasons, Yahweh created those divine chariots and divine Merkabah chariots. And when the B'nai Elohim, the sons of God, were cast out of heaven, Satan and a third of the angels, I believe they came down here in those chariots, mm-hmm. UFOs.
Yeah.
I believe they came down here and those flying chariots became demonic Vimana. And I believe that they took human women and created a hybrid offspring of giants called the Nephilim. And the Nephilim went into the beast, went into the forest and had unnatural sex acts with the beasts of the field, apes, bears, dogs, wolves, etc. And that is the Bigfoot, Sabe, Sasquatch creatures. They're every bit as supernatural as they are flesh and blood. They're very real. I've had many experiences with them as well. Mm. And they are a part of that whole picture. So I believe that the devil has a kingdom. He mimics everything that Yahweh does. He puts a vulgar twist on it. So in his kingdom, he has these, you know, various entities that are absolutely demonic. And I think that his direct underlings are these reptilian creatures that he gives the orders and mandate to them. And they turn around and give those orders and mandates to the power elite on planet Earth. And the power elite are in compliance. And this goes all the way from the political places to the religious places, to the sports places, to the entertainment industry. They are all in compliance with this. And this is why our world, especially in America, is upside down and backwards. This is why. And so I absolutely believe that the alien abduction phenomena is tied into a demonic stronghold. I've had many cases. I've had cases from all over the world. I've helped people in 54 countries and counting. And in a good deal of these cases, not all, but in a good deal of them, the people did report having either sightings of UFOs or alien visitations or even abduction, Bigfoot encounters, all these types of things. So this is all connected. I've written 10 books, and two of my books called Stranger Than Fiction. And it's connecting the dots with all this phenomena. And so, yes, it is very much related. And I've had many divine experiences involving UFOs, but I've also had many demonic experiences involving UFOs and non-human looking beings as well. We could make a whole show just some of those experiences. So yes, it is all connected. And there have been instances where abductions were taking place and a person would it would stop when they cried the name of Jesus, when the blood of Jesus, it would stop.
Amen.
So that tells me that you better believe it's evil in nature, and they cannot withstand the power of God when the power of God is invoked over them.
Amen. Awesome. Well, Bill, I want to thank you for your time and for coming on. You mentioned a few things that I would just love to have you back on to discuss.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'll keep in touch. Hopefully we can set something else up. But I'm going to let you go. I know you have somewhere to be. So just tell people where they can get in touch with you, and I'll let you head out.
And I want to thank you for having me on, my brother. I appreciate it. God bless you and your family. Look forward to the next time. We'll really get into it next time.
Okay.
And I want to thank everybody out there for listening as well, and God bless all of you. And if you're in need, in spiritual need, don't hesitate to contact me, BillBeanWarrior.com. And you can email me directly from the site. If you want to get a copy of the new book, Tales from an Exorcist, same thing, BillBeanWarrior.com or TalesForAnExorcist.com. And you can, if you want a signed copy, just make your purchase order there, and I'll personally sign it and get it out to you as quickly as possible. And again, if you're in need, or if you, I have a little show that I do, Samuel, called Warrior Mode. And I have 600 people plus on that prayer list. And it takes me over 35 minutes to say all the names, but I do it every Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern. So if you're out there and you're in need of prayer, same thing. Send me a message and I'll add you to the prayer list.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. All right. Well, Bill, I'll let you go, like I said. Hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, let's reschedule for a more in-depth show.
Yeah,
so thank you, my brother, and God bless you.
All right. You too.
Okay.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to like and subscribe. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to share it with somebody you know. And with that being said, we'll catch you on the next one.